Open your Bibles to Joshua 4 with me. That's where we're going to be at this morning. Joshua 4. Brandon said it. He said, somebody broke that thinking they didn't want him to preach. I think they might have known I was coming. Could have been one of them deacons. Joshua 4, we're going to read the entire chapter this morning. If you'd follow along with me, Joshua 4. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God. It says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' And then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to a place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are still there to this day. For the priest bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them, about 40,000 ready for war, passed over before the Jordan for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priest bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priest, 'Come up out of the Jordan.' And when the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up onto dry ground, the waters of the Jordan's returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what did these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with a place where we can read the word aloud. Thank you for your church. Now teach us from thy word. In Christ we pray. Amen. You know, I was standing out there with you all, and that table was right there. Had the juice and the bread, or the foam and the crackers, whatever you want to call it. It was sitting there, the juice was, and Ronnie was standing over to the left, and the pastor was over to the right. And everything was ready. And the pastor was reading the Bible and he was setting you up, getting your posture correct for the Lord's Supper. And then it was the call to take the white sheet off. But there was a problem with the white sheet. It wasn't the square one. It was round. Ronnie pulled that sheet off and he began to fumble. He couldn't figure out how to fold it. You ever done that, guys? Wives know how to do that with a fitted sheet, right? Well, Ronnie, feeling the weight of the moment, the pastor stalling enough, just wadded that thing up and stuck it right there underneath that table. And Ted Jones just looked down and shook his head. Memories, right? We have a lot of them. Memories. That's not the most edifying memory, probably. I was hoping Ronnie would be here to hear that. But that's church, isn't it? We're all together here, remembering the things that we've done. When we look at the book of Joshua, we have a historic account that is very important for us. And this moment right here is no doubt any different than any other historical point in the Bible. Just to set the context real quick with Joshua, Joshua really has five big themes to it, if you would say it. I've been teaching through Joshua on Wednesday night some at Hillview. I've taken a break from it, but I've enjoyed our time. See, Joshua is a foreshadow of Christ. Even his name has the same origin meaning as Jesus. The Lord saves. Two, Joshua is commissioned and chosen by God and appointed to lead Israel after the death of Moses. He is commissioned. We would flip back, we would see that. The Israelites are finally, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, are going to go into the promised land that they've been told will be their inheritance. And the battles, I want to say, are not really much battles, except for when they lose. But most of the time, there's no fighting really done by the Israelites. God just delivers them repetitively. And lastly, it's another example we see throughout the book of Joshua of how God's people continue to fall short, and only by His faith and His grace and His power do we ever make it in and to the end. Many people look at Joshua and they want to pull out that to be strong and courageous text. They want to pull out, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But they miss the theme often. They miss the theme that without God, the people have nothing. They need Him for everything. Just as we saw this morning in Sunday school lesson with Johnny and Elijah. So let's hop right into it with point number one. If these stones could speak, I think they would say, make sure you look at me. See the stones. We have to be willing to see the stones. Verse 1 starts off very clear. Just as they had finished passing over the Jordan. Forgetfulness, my brothers and sisters, forgetfulness is a huge issue with Israel. It's also a huge issue with us. It's a problem we still have to this day. Psalm 78 says, they did not remember His power or the day when He redeemed them from the foe, when He performed His signs for them in Egypt. It is so easy to forget. We have to always be willing to look and see the stones. We have to remember there's a purpose behind the stones. We always need to know how we got here. Why did they cross over the Jordan? How did they cross over the Jordan? God knows they need to remember why, how they've got to where they're at. We need to remember the purpose of Christ in our life and how we've gotten to where we're at right now. So, what does God do in verse 2? Right there, take 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan where the priest's feet stood firmly. Immediately after this mighty miracle has happened, God has them do something. He wants something to take place. Don't just go through it and keep going. Stop and do something. Stop and reflect. Take 12 stones. You saw back in chapter 3, we would have seen that as the priest, we're about 1,000 yards ahead. The Bible says 2,000 cubits. That's about 1,000 yards ahead back in chapter 3. As the priest's feet went into the Jordan, carrying the ark, the waters separated and dried up. A mighty miracle. And 1,000 feet back, 1,000 yards back is a lot, isn't it? They can all see it. God wants them to understand their place in this. They are doing nothing. He is doing it all. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you. So get them 12 stones out. Listen, 12. 12 stones, get them out. Put them up here. That this is a sign among you. I used that word sign a second ago as well, talking about this. Signs are very common. To the symbol-laden Israelites, they're used to signs. This also took place within the history of the early church itself. We were to turn to God. If you were to flip in the book of Acts right now, you would see repetitively, over and over again, that in the early church, with the apostles, there were many signs and miracles done amongst the people. So they saw the validity of what was taking place. If you go to the Gospel of John and look at what John wrote, John didn't use the word miracles, he used the word sign. He wanted signs, seven signs to point to something. Signs always point us to something. It's not about what we're doing, it's what we see the signs and what they show us and what they mean. God knows they need the signs because we're just like the nation of Israel. We forget so quickly, so easily. We get caught up in the things that we think are signs. We even come up and concoct signs, our own signs, and we don't need them. All we have to do is look around and see the stones. They're all around us. We don't need signs from people on TV who are telling you to give you their money. Give me your money so I can buy a jet. We don't need signs, okay, from dreams that we have. And we don't need signs from movies that are coming out and book writers and authors. We just need to go to the Word of God. We just need to look around at our life. Dare I say, you need to look in the mirror and remember how you got to where you're at. It was all by God. Signs are all around us. But God continues. Verse 6. When your children ask in the time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Tell them. Did you hear that, Bethel? We're supposed to tell them. That's what we're supposed to do. Christ is always the answer that we should give when people ask us why we're here. And our kids ask us why we go to church. Did you hear me? That's a very simple answer, isn't it? But oftentimes we give a long, drawn-out answer, don't we? When the answer is always Christ. That's what it is. The nation of Israel and their children, the parents, the grandparents, the witnesses, needed to say, because our God delivered us from the water so we could pass over into the land He promised us. We, the church, have been given a promise per our Lord Jesus Christ that the gates of hell will not prevail. He has made the promise. We have it. That's all we need to say. That's all we need to do. Jesus cut off the waters so that we could go and tell. That's what He's done. That's why we're all here right now. We're all here right now as a church. For what reason? Because of what God has done. Because of Christ's atoning work on the cross for us. We have to see the stones. We're not here for a potluck, are we? I may look like I've put on a little weight, and I was already told that this morning. You may think that I want food, and that's why I'm here. That's just a benefit. We're here for the glory of God. We're here because of the gospel. We're here because of what Jesus has done. Verses 7 through 9 say, "And when He passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." You see, it's exactly what the people were to tell the next generations and the generations to follow, that the Lord did this mighty work. It was all done by Him. It's all been worked through Him. Look at His Word. It delivered us. That is the gospel. We just pass through. We follow the instructions. We step back and we look and we watch and we see the amazing work of God in our life. We see the amazing work of God in His church and what He's doing around us. And we've been given that. And we'll go into that in a few minutes about what that looks like. But just look for the stones. We can do this, Bethel. How can we do this? Salvation is from the Lord. Do you hear that catechism right there? Even our faith is from the Lord. We do nothing to earn it. Every single soul saved in the history of Bethel Baptist Church was saved by the hand of God. Every baptism was done by the work of God. Every Sunday school class should be teaching this truth. When the teacher's down with the little kids down there talking about Noah, and they're talking about what happened and the waters coming in and how eight people were delivered, it was not done by Noah, it was done by God. He chose eight. He put them in the ark that they built because he told them to do it. And then he delivered them from death. Tell the kids that. That's what happened. Every adult Sunday school class here teaching about Jesus, say, walking on the water is a sign to us that he is in control. Even gravity and nature do not control God. He is in control of it. Why are we here 135 years almost later? Because God delivered us from our sins. He has saved us from our sins. He cut off the waters. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we read the Word of God, for those that are delivered and those that have been saved, it opens up like a flower. It blooms in front of us and we are amazed by it. Those are the stones. Which brings us now to our second point. I said first you need to be looking, you need to see the stones. Our second point is remembering the stones. You see, oftentimes the Bible is that way to us in our life. We have it in our house like a stone. It sits there like a dead stone. And we never look at it. We never meditate on it. We never think about it. We have to think about it. Those stones weren't there just to see. They were there to look at, talk about, tell about. Verse 10, the people passed over in haste. Brothers and sisters, are you in a hurry to share the gospel? Do you realize time is ticking moment by moment, day by day? Your life is going, and the Lord knows when it's going to be over. And I don't even know my own life when it's going to be over. We only have so much time. No doubt the Israelites felt that. The water was separated. They went down in. What do you think they were thinking when that water was all around them? We better hurry. We need to see the fact that we need to be in haste. We need to be moving. We have things to do, people to go talk to, people to see. When we think of our instructions in the Great Commission, we need to be moving in haste. The church needs to be going, going, going all the time. It's insinuated as you go. There's work to be done. So go. Verse 12 through 13. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gath and the half-tribe Manasseh, about 40,000 ready of war were passed through there. See, this specific tribes here, these are the ones that are suiting up for battle. They're obeying the words of God. See, there's in the early story of the church of Israel here going into the land, there's some of them that are going to have land that they don't have to go get as far. It's going to be right there on the other side. But God tells them, look, I'll let you have the land on that side, but you still have to go fight with your brothers. You still have work to do with them. You don't get to just stop now and say, well, we got ours. See ya. The nation is one. Did you hear that? The nation is one. They believe in a God who tells them back in Deuteronomy what? The Lord your God is what? One. We know in the New Testament, John 17, as Jesus prays, you have given them to me. They are mine. No one can take them away. They are going to be one just as we are one. The church is one. Again, Acts 2, 42. They had everything in common. No one had a need. They were of one accord. That's the gospel. The Israel is a forerunner of the church, brothers and sisters. We look at it, beloved, and we see right there the truth. Do you see it? We go to war together. We fight together. Nobody gets out. Everybody must go. 12 stones, 12 tribes. We'll talk more about that before we're done in a minute. Verse 14, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. The Lord exalted Joshua just like Moses. The Word of God makes this point repetitively throughout the book of Joshua. The Lord wanted the people to realize who Joshua was, that he was no different than Moses was. He was with him just like he was with him. And all these signs are given with Joshua around to show him who he is, to validate what he's doing. Again, signs, again, miracles. Why? We're given some very clear signs to remember ourselves. As the church, we have given signs to show who Jesus is. Because just as the Lord was with Moses and Joshua, even more so with Jesus, because Jesus was the Lord. In the flesh, the Word became flesh. I want you to think about that. Are you in awe of Christ? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When you talk about Jesus, I always worry about my brothers and sisters in the church, especially when they say, yeah, Jesus saved me, but what am I supposed to do? That's not very much in awe of Jesus. I'm in awe of Jesus. Are you in awe of Jesus? Can you quit talking about Him? Do you want to look at Him all the time? Do you see Him high and lifted up for your sins? The people see Joshua and they're in awe. This man, the Lord is with him. Do you realize who Jesus is? Do you realize what Jesus has done for you? We need to be in awe of Christ. Verses 21 through 24. When your children ask their fathers in the times to come, what did these stones mean? When you shall let your children know, Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. It's all over the text, remembering is in the text. Do you hear that? It's interesting when you're reading this, you think there would be more about the water parting, but there's not. It's all this recounting about what God has done and these stones. Why the stones? The stones are there. Did you realize, per the text, the miracle, the sign that took place literally 40 years ago to this day, it says on the 10th day of the first month, verse 19, that is when God had instituted the Passover. Do you see that? The Passover. The Lord instructs His people annually and regularly in the Old Testament to keep these Sabbaths, to keep these festivals, to remember what God has done. As a church, we've been given some things ourselves. Bethel is no different than any other church. We are one church. Dare I say the Catholic church. We're one church, one universal church. We've been given some things that cannot be shaken. We have to remember the stones when we look at them. The Lord's Supper, for one. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, Paul tells us that Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." When you take the Lord's Supper, church, don't think about it just quarterly. Oh, it's that time. I hope they fold the sheet up right. No, you need to think about what Jesus has done for you. Break the bread as His body was broken. Drink of the cup because He took the cup for you and His blood was shed for you. Remembering this, that Jesus went into the waters and took your place in death so that you could live. Another thing we do as a church is baptism. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You realize what baptism is? I've got baptism on my mind and the Lord's Supper on my mind. We've been going through the catechisms at Hillview on Sunday nights for 45 weeks now. And tonight we go over the Lord's Supper. It's on my mind. But baptism the last 3 weeks has been on it. I heard this wonderful depiction of baptism. That, you know, every time somebody says, "I want to go up into the water and I want to be put in," I'm literally saying to the church, "I'm ready to die and be born again publicly." And you know what we do when we're there? And I know y'all know how to go to a baptism. I've been here when you do it. You affirm it. You say, "Great, I'm so happy that you're ready to die and be born again." And we celebrate that. We rejoice in that so that the new birth is seen right there in front of us. As a symbol, that's what baptism is. A symbol, a memorial to Jesus. It's a public sign that we want to be a member of the church of God. And every time we see it, we need to stop and we need to meditate on it. And we need to rejoice in it. Another application would be the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Peter 1. We understand that every time that the Word of God is open, every time that it's read out loud, it's the very breath of God. You want to hear God speak? Read your Bible out loud. Isn't that what R.C. Sproul used to say? Read your Bible out loud. Every single time. What do you do with the Word? Is it moving you? Is it changing you? Is it revealing the gospel to you? When Brandon stands up here and he opens up this Bible and he reads it, if all he does that day is that, and that sermon is flat, he did something that is powerful and could change the life of a soul in this room, because that's how powerful it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is alive. Our fruit of sanctification comes in the teaching and the telling of others. The Great Commission says, baptize and teach. You ever thought about that? That's what it says. Baptize and teach. That's the two things that we do as the church, is we baptize and we teach. We look at those stones and we tell people about what Jesus has done. We're almost complete here. A couple quick final notes as we get ready to complete the sermon this morning. Verse 20 says, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. You know, it's interesting about those stones and where he puts them. He actually puts them in two places. There's 12 stones that they put out into the Jordan River where the priest's feet stood as a symbol. And the Bible tells us that, and when people saw it, they would know that's where the priests were that separated the waters when God did the work. So you got to imagine that now. So when God did this miracle with Joshua, he did it at high time when the water was high, which is another reason, you know, to show everybody, I'm not just going to wait till it's kind of low and a stream here. I'm going to do it at a mighty time. But at times the River Jordan is going to flow low and those rocks are going to be seen. And the kids would be there, right? And they would look out and see the rocks. And the parents would hopefully tell them what God had done. But the other 12 stones he takes with him and he puts at Gilgal. Gilgal, you know what Gilgal means? It says, your shame has been rolled away or taken away. That's what Gilgal means. That's a fitting name, isn't it? 39 times in the book of Joshua alone, you're going to hear Gilgal. Why Gilgal? Which is the shame was rolled away. Joshua makes Gilgal the place where they all set up everything. It's the headquarters for the nation during this time. Bethel Baptist may be like a Gilgal to you. It is to Trish and I. Because it was in a stoned room upstairs with blocks all around me that I understood the gospel really as an adult. It registered, you know, just reading the Bible. It's here where Trisha grew up with her mother, her siblings. What's Gilgal to you? Is Bethel Gilgal to you? Do you go back there? Homecoming's a good time to kind of see people. They might want to come back to the headquarters where they kind of had the understanding of it. That's what Gilgal is to Joshua. He goes back there and when he fails and the nation stumbles, and he goes back there in triumph. And no, brothers and sisters, no doubt he looked at those stones, didn't he? And he thought about those stones, those memories. He thought about what he had seen God do, what God had done in his life. We have an opportunity as the church, no matter where you're at, to look at the stones. Look at the cross. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Look at the signs the Word of God reveals. Look at the testimonies. There's been many come through here, haven't there? If we all take a moment and just take a breath, we can remember the people that came in one way, and as they left, they were reborn. We can look at Christ. We can look at His suffering. We can look at His death. We can look at His resurrection. We can see in the Word His ascension. The text tells us that when these things took place, the people were in awe. We have to be in awe of our justification by Jesus Christ of our sins, knowing that the Holy Spirit of God has saved us Do you understand they're just stones? Do you see that? That's what God takes. 12 stones. Crude, rudimentary, river stones. Church, he doesn't make them, cut them and carve them and build a memorial. They're just stones. But they're together. Put them there. Put them there together. 12 tribes, 12 stones together. Because if they're just rocks scattered about, nobody's going to ask a question, are they? They're just going to walk around the rock. But when they're sitting there together like a memorial, people are going to look and say, why are those there? The people need to look at this church and they need to see you together. You need to evangelize together. Ministries need to be done together. You need to read the Word of God together. You need to pray together. You serve together. You live together. You've died together. We are the church, and we are about making disciples, past, present, and the future. We must remember how Bethel Baptist got here. Grace, mercy, sheer, utter grace. The patience of our Lord is kind. His love is steadfast. His hand, though, is at work. No one, not one of us, earned the place we have sitting here at this moment. It was given to us by the grace of God through faith alone, so that no one may boast. I challenge you to never forget that. Look at the stones. Be in awe of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, bless your holy name. Bless your word. It is powerful. It is sharp and it teaches us. May we be aware, Lord, that you have done mighty things. That through your arm we've been given salvation. And that through Christ alone, we can be a disciple. And we can be saved in the new birth. In Christ we pray this. Amen.